wide variety of workshops. This is an open retreat. All are welcome to attend. However, we ask that only addicts share in the workshops. In accordance with our seven traditions, we are fully self-supporting. The money to pay for this camp and its services, as well as helping to continue carrying the NA message throughout the area, comes from your registration. If you have not registered, please see someone at the registration table. If you have, thank you for your registering. We should remember that our actions this weekend are a direct reflection of Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Let's carry the NA message, not the mess. Due to liability and safety reasons, no one is permitted to use the rock climbing wall or any other sport activity equipment. Please see a retreat committee member if you have any questions. What is the NA message? Our message is that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. Our message is hope, and the promise is freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that is all we have to give. That no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of addiction. The NA way. In Narcotics Anonymous, we are presented with a dilemma. What is the when NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross at addicts, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that one drug is separate from the rest. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Our identification as addicts is all inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on the similarities and not the differences. To the press, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. If any members of the press are present, please come to the registration table, where you will be referred to our public information's chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during the unity retreat by the press. If any NA members are approached by the press, please refer them to the registration table. Remember, no one person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA to the press alone. Thank you. Welcome to the men's wrap-up speaker meeting. Will you please help me open the meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Can we please have the reading of who is an addict?
My name's Larry, and I'm an addict.
Larry.
Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs and one form or another. The getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same. Jails, institutions, and death.
Thanks, Larry.
We please have the reading of what is the NA program?
Tom, I'm an addict.
Tom.
This is Narcotics Anonymous program. NA is a nonprofit fellowship for society where women using drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. The program is complete abstinence from all drugs. There's only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. The program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you've done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person in any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thanks. Could you please have the reading of why we are here?
My name's Joe, and I'm
Joe.
Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives.
We cannot live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed our use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on our own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a kind enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help from medicine, religion, or psychiatry. None of these methods were sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in narcotics and numbness. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffer from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is impossible.
Thank you.
Could we please have the reading of how it works?
I'm an addict named Dave.
Dave.
And one we have to offer and willing to make the effort to get it, then we are ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, properly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer or meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does. There's one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indispensable intolerance towards spiritual principles. Three of these that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, with a therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without peril. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society and everyday living, just that much faster will we become accepted, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take that first drug. If you are like us, you know that one is too many, and a thousand never enough. We put great emphasis on this, so we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before we came to NA, many of us viewed alcohol separately. But we cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug. We are people with the disease of addiction who must abstain from all drugs in order to recover.
We please have the reading of the 12 traditions.
Tony, grateful we're coming out. We keep what we have only with vigilance. Freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps. So freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is the one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are the trusted servants that do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has the one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems in winning property for Steve diverts from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, all public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, of reminding us to place principles before personality. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines and our dealings with others in society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise. Communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside of fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work.
Tony, please have the reading of We Do Recover.
I'm Van Ross. I'm an addict. When at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on the best we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Please have the reading of Just for Today.
Hi, my name is Mark Monetic.
Mark.
Just for today, tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program I will try to follow to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new association with people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. As long as I follow that way, I have nothing to do.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
At this time, I'd like to introduce our speaker, Dale R. He's from the Pittsburgh area of NA.
I'm an addict named Dale. And today is a good day to be clean. And I want to thank the Lower Mountain Highland areas for asking me to come out here and just share just a little bit of my story. Because we all got one. And my story ain't no better than yours, and yours ain't no better than mine. And anybody could have been up here sharing this story, their story. And, I woke up this morning, I was grateful to be alive, you know what I mean? I got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of injuries, a lot of physical things going on that, you know, as men that we have, you know what I'm saying? And I'm grateful to have this program, because without this program, you know, I believe that, you know, I wanna thank God, right, for his grace. And I wanna thank God for his mercy, you know, for another day clean. And I was driving up here, you know, and I was like, you know, my GPS took me a different way than I thought it was going to take me. It took me 22 east to 981 south or something like that. And I got to see all the things that that I didn't know that was really out here, you know. I thought I was lost at first. Come to find out that I wasn't lost. So I'm grateful, man. I've been out here a few times, you know. I got clean 8/6/96. I came in here, I was 36 years old. And I thought I was too young when I got here. Just celebrated 26 years clean. And I say that, right, because I was the guy, right, that I had no intentions of staying here when I got here. Mm-hmm. I had no intentions. Mm-hmm. although I needed a break. You know how we get them little breaks? And I thought I was on one of them little breaks when I got here. And you know, I had just got out of the Army. I was in the Army for 16 years, and I got wounded in the Persian Gulf War. And my unit got hit the day before the war ended. My unit got hit by an Iraqi Scud missile. And it killed 19 people, and it wounded over 300 and something people. It was the worst part of the Gulf War. And I just happened to be on my way into the building where the Scud missile hit. I was probably about 70 feet away from the initial explosion. And it threw me in the air, you know what I mean? And I came down on my tailbone. And I jammed up my back and my tailbone, and I got shrapnel in my right knee, and I got a concussion. And over time, that happened in 1991. And over time, my discs were degenerating, and we didn't know it. And 2017, I was having extremity problems. And you know, as men, we sometimes don't look at stuff that we really need to do. You know what I mean? So I played it off, like I said, I just got a bad leg. You know what I mean? But I couldn't pick my legs up. You know what I mean? Like I usually do. And I was tripping and I was falling. And somebody gave me an idea. They said, why don't you go to the doctors and see what's going on? And I said, yeah. So I go to the doctors and come to find out that I had a disease in my neck called myelopathy disease. And all my discs in my neck started to degenerate. And the only good one that I had in my neck was the first one. And that's the one that controls your breathing. Like, I know y'all heard of Christopher Reeves. It was because the first disc in his neck wouldn't allow him to breathe normally. So when they took an MRI in my neck, right, they called me the very next day. And they said, we don't like what we see. It's a good thing you got here. It's a good thing that you, now, and so they said, you don't have to get this surgery, right? They told me when I sat down, they had my MRI in 6D, not 3D. They had it in 6D because they want me to see what the hell was really going on. And they had a good neck, and they had my neck. And they took my neck and they turned it into a horizontal position. And a good neck, you should be able to see all the way through. My neck was closing off like that. It was almost on my spinal cord. They said, we give you a year or less, you'll be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. With a catheter. So that means I'm gonna be smelling like pee-pee. We can't do that. So nine days later, I was under the knife for 9.5 hours. So I'm grateful that the surgery came out all right. I got some complications because I waited too long to go check it out. You know what I mean? Like, I got some prostate shit going on too. I got to pee real bad, and some of y'all might understand what I'm talking about, and you get there and ain't shit coming out. Or do you ever get the double P's? I'm just saying. I'm talking about me, right? I get there, I pee, and then all of a sudden, I'm turning away, and I gotta go again. I'm like, what's going on? So I asked a few people, I asked a few guys, and I ran across a few guys. and they say your prostate is probably enlarging. Because after about 45 years old, or 40, right around 40 years old, you know, and for those that are not 40 years old, now you know that, you know, when you get right around 40 years old, that going to the bathroom often is something normal after you get a certain age. And I just turned 62. And I had already planned my life. I didn't plan to be here at 62. I really didn't. I was that guy, you know, I came home and, see, the disease that we got, right, it is so patient. It is so patient. And I remember coming home from the Gulf War, right, and the disease whispered in my ear, the disease that I didn't even know for years later. It said, you defended your country, you could do anything you want to do. Now, I heard that. And you know what I said? You right.
Okay.
Be damned if you ain't right. So I'm married, right? Got two kids, one on the way. So shit got bad around about a couple years after I came back from the Gulf War, around 93. Shit got bad. Remember the blizzard of 93? Some of y'all might remember that. Yeah. Right? I was copping, you know what I mean? And you know, weather, it wasn't about if weather permitted it, it didn't matter. You know what I mean? I remember, like, I was the guy, right, that I would sneak out the house. Some of y'all might realize, I would sneak out the house when I thought everybody was asleep. I was that sneaky addict, right, in the end. And I go out, go cop, come back home, you know what I mean? And I did that for a while. And one day I left and I didn't come back. You know, I was that dude that went, that left, and, you know, to go get the milk and the bread and all that shit. And I never made it back. I mean, when I came back, it was like 10 days later. And my wife looked at me and she gave me this look like, why is you here? Why? Why did you even come back? I tried to put my key in the door and the key did not work. Some of y'all might have experienced that. I said, something must be wrong with the tumbler. What's shit wrong with the tumbler? She got the locks changed. And I knocked on the door. You know that little chain? She said, who is it? I said, it's me, baby. She said, who? She didn't forget who I was. And I could hear my kids. They said, is that daddy? Is that daddy out there? My kids was about like 8 years old. I got twins, a girl and a boy. Right? They was 8 years old at the time. And I could hear them saying, is that daddy? And I could hear my wife saying, just go back in the other room. Don't worry about him. Don't worry about him no more. And I said, she said, just go ahead on and just go on and just do what you want to do. You're going to do it anyway. Just go ahead on. And I said, yes. Because the disease said, now I got you 24 hours. You know what I mean? Now I'm going to make you a general. Mm. Right? And I was a general in Crack's Army for about 3 years straight. I'm talking about marching. You know, day in and day out. Right, because you know, I came in this program, right? I came in here as a boy in a man's body. You hear what I'm saying? I came in here as a little boy in a man's body, thinking I knew something. Didn't know nothing. You know, our literature talks about we were misinformed by misinformed people. Boy, was I misinformed. Some of the misinformed information that I had gotten was get one girl and five on the side. I thought that was okay. You know, I thought a whole lot of stuff that was told to me before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, when I got here, shit was up for revision. You hear me? And I seen, I got here by way of at the end of the road. And since I'm a veteran, I ended up in a domiciliary program. Some of y'all might know about the domiciliary program. I ended up in the domiciliary program in Butler, Pennsylvania. I'm from a little small town called Farrell, PA. Some of y'all might have heard of Farrell. Some of y'all might have heard of Sharon, PA. Right? That's where I'm from originally. And I ended up in Butler, and then I got transferred from Butler domiciliary program to Pittsburgh. And I know my man right there. We go way back. And I ended up, I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, man, on a Tuesday night called Carina Group or Narcotics Anonymous. And they was in this meeting just like we here right now. And they seemed like they was relatively happy. Now, I could not be happy at that time because I lost the car. I thought the car meant something. I lost the house. I lost the bank accounts, right? I lost the love of my wife, and I lost the love of my mother. She seen me on the corner. She seen me on the corner a couple of days before I went and got clean. My mom was on her way to work. She worked at the local hospital, and I was waiting on the dope man. You know, when I got here, they didn't have cell phones. You know, when you called the dope man, you had to go to the phone booth. Right? I know I'm telling my age, but I'm all right because look, it's a privilege. I realize now, like my mother told me, she said, it's a privilege to grow old. Everybody ain't gonna get this opportunity. There's a lot of people that should be in this meeting that ain't here no more. They're gone. They'll never be able to go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting because they thought that, you know, that they can do their own will. Self-will versus God's will get you something. It will get you something, but you, I always tell my sponsees, right? I say, you can do self-will. That's a normal thing. That's a normal thing to do self-will. But you better know when to stop. You hear me? You better know when to say, I'm going the other way. And latch on to something that we know that's going to save us. And so, look, I was at a men's meeting, and they were talking about things, man, that like we don't get to talk about in regular meetings, right? And I learned a whole lot about what I need to do as a man, because see, I thought sticking my chest out was some good shit, but see, sticking your chest out and brushing up against, you know, each other, right, in the wrong kind of way, that ain't no good shit. Because we all in this boat together, right? We here to help each other. I was always the guy was like, you on your own. We ain't on our own no more. You know what I mean? If you see me doing something I ain't got no business doing, please tell me that ain't cool. I'm not egging on. I used to egg shit on. When I first got here 26 years ago, you know, the road was wide. You hear what I'm saying? When you get here, the road is wide when you get here. And whatever you do in that wide road, that's fine. But if you don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle, that road is going, it's going to start slimming down. It's going to start slimming down. And there's gonna be some shit that what you used to do ain't gonna look good no more. It just ain't gonna look good. And I got a nice core group, right, that will let me know when I'm going off track. They'll let me know. But then I got another group that'll say, hey Dale, I think she like you. I think you ought to hit that, man. I'm like, see, I've been here long enough. I know that after the butt, Then what? See, because it's easy. Yeah, right? Right? See, because, like, it's easy going in. But it's hard the motherfucker coming out. You hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about you laying in your bed, right? I'm talking about you laying in your bed, right? And you hear a window break. You hear a car window break. And then you hear the, right? You be like, that ain't my shit, right? And you just happen to peek out the window. That's your shit. You hear what I'm saying? So now I learn now, as I stay here in Narcotics Anonymous, I learn now that my word is my bond. My integrity. My loyalty, my principles, my spirituality, all these things, man, they come together as we grow in Narcotics Anonymous. Look, I felt like I was a little boy when I got here, right? But I grew up in Narcotics Anonymous. There were some guys that was here, man, that ain't here no more, man, that I emulated, man, because I wanted to be like them. You know, they was the guys, like, they went to work and shit, right, took care of their families. You know what I'm saying? They paid their bills. They was responsible. Now, I ain't saying they was perfect, because ain't none of us going to ever be perfect, right? But they kind of knew the basic things to do to be able to live a kind of a free life. You know what I mean? They wasn't at the meetings arguing at their girl in the meeting around everybody. You know, they wasn't calling their women's bitches no more, right? They was opening the door, they was calling their, you know what I mean? They was calling their girl by her name, not bitch. You know what I'm saying? You know, we grow up in here, we learn how to talk. Cause when I came here, only thing I knew was who got it, how much was it, and was the shit good enough? And that was kind of my language when I got here. It wasn't my language before I got to the end of the road, because my mother raised me around good men. And so I knew what a good man was. I knew what a good man could be. I just lost the values and the morals and the respect that I had that my mother taught me and my dad. Got a good dad. My dad, you know, he turned 84 years old, and he'll be 85 real soon. And My mom was like my hero. And she taught me a lot of things, man, that she didn't teach me how to be a man. She put me around good men. You know, because my dad wasn't there. And I grew up in a single family home. And my mom was one of them ladies that would go in her room and she would pray for 2 hours. And me and my twin brother would say, "She's still in there praying? Who is she talking to?" Because at that time, like, I knew there was a God, but I didn't have a relationship with that God. You know, we talk about, when I got here, you know, people used to say things like, my mom had a punishing God. Y'all might have heard that. You know, but what I believe is that my mom just wanted me to do right. Because the same God that my mom was praying to, that she told me that God's going to strike you down, is the same God that I have today. Right? Our literature talks about the same God that was with us then is with us now. Right? The same God. It's a universal God. It's not a particular God. We don't talk about a particular God in Narcotics Anonymous. The God we talk about here, it talks about it in Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. Some of y'all might have read that pamphlet. It talks about the God that we refer to here is the one that makes what's impossible now makes possible. Now that's a hell of a God. That ain't the one that opens up the cloud and throw lightning bolts at you, right? And then it goes on to talk about just make sure that it's loving and caring, right? Because I came in here, I didn't know any other God than the one that I knew that I came in here with. My mother's God and my grandmother's God. And But like I said, I just believe that my mom said those kind of things, and the other people's, the other ladies, older ladies in the church, I believe they said that because they just wanted us to do, they just wanted us to do right. You know, because I knew a whole lot of stuff was going on in my church. Deacons was messing around and preachers was messing around. I said, they still here. So it must not have been what my mother was telling me, because those people that I thought should have been struck down were still in the church, right? But when I got to Narcotics Anonymous and I began to get this relationship with this God and my understanding, he began to learn me how to be the man that he wanted me to be. And sometimes that's a hard pill that we have to take after being here for so long, that we have to learn how to follow the spiritual path. You know what I mean? Like I used to go to meetings, right? Just for the women. I would act like I wasn't. And what happens is that shit gets old. It's a whole lot of shit that's gonna get old around here if you stay here. Trust me, the car gets old, right? You know, working five jobs get old. Your body gonna get old. You're gonna break down, and you're gonna learn how to do things that men do. We learn how to look out for each other. We learn how to love each other in spite of where you come from, what color you are, what your race is, what your ethnicity is, all of those things. You know, we got a core group here. You know, in our literature, it talks about esoteric. You ever hear this word? Esoteric. Esoteric means a small group of people that comes together and we look out. And I haven't found that nowhere else in my life. And so I'm grateful to be I'm so grateful to be a part of Narcotics Anonymous. And so I started doing things that I need to do, and stop doing shit that I want to do. You hear what I'm saying? Because I want to do a whole lot of shit that don't make sense. Because my disease is not under the bed no more. My disease is not doing push-ups no more. Could you imagine motherfucker doing push-ups for 26 years? How that motherfucker look? My disease, I used to thought it was up under the bed. Nah, my disease is between my two ears. And it's always talking. And it's saying shit, dumb shit, that I can pick up on now. Because it was a time when I couldn't pick up on it. But when you start reading your literature, and you get a sponsor, y'all start working some steps and some traditions, you start to realize that our literature said that our disease goes further than the use of drugs. Further. See, I thought it was just about the dope. Well, it's always about the dope. Don't get me wrong. You know, I always say the dope is always laying on the table with the phone, with the bills, with the car keys. The dope's sitting there too. It's just invisible right now. Because my disease, I won't start with the dope. But it'll start with something else. You know, it'll start with that, I'm going to go in the store and, you ever feel like I don't want to pay for this shit? Huh? That's where it starts. It starts with that kind of shit, man. You know what I mean? And none of us are exempt from that shit. You know, our clean time don't keep us clean. See, I thought my clean time was going to keep me clean. And so what I did one day, I heard this voice say, well, pick a time. The voice of God, you know, whatever, a little silent. Pick a time, you know what I mean? Because I thought once you got a few years clean, that you didn't have all these problems no more. So I picked 10 years. I picked 10 years. I got 10 years and I had more shit going on than I did. You know what I'm saying? But what God did, though, let me tell you what God did, though. God gave me the ability to learn how to deal with what was on my plate. Because you ever hear people say, God ain't gonna give you more than what you can handle? Man, I'm willing to say I don't know. This would be some days I'd be wanting to question that shit. You know what I mean? Because I'd be having, you know what I mean? Like the other last weekend, I was coming down my steps outside, and y'all know concrete don't move, right? So my car is from here to you. I got two more steps to go down. I'm holding on to the rail. I got a whole bunch of friends in here to say, Dale, where's your damn cane? Pride and ego, man. Pride and ego will say, man, you don't want them girls to see you with no damn cane. You know what I mean? The disease be like, you don't need that cane. But as soon as you bust your head, the disease say, I got your ass again. You know what I mean? It'll tell you you can do some shit, but then after you do it, it'll convict you. That's the kind of disease we got, right? So I'm coming down my steps, right? And my right knee gave out. The one that I hurt in the Gulf War, right? So they call it a trick knee. It hadn't tricked me in a while. Okay. So I didn't have my cane, right? So I'm coming down the rail, and my knee gave out, and it was a surprise. And I fell, and I hit my head, bust my head. I had to go to the emergency room. The ambulance had to come get me. I bust my left knee up, bust this knee up, broke my elbow. I chipped the bone in my right elbow. They said that the bone that I chipped, it's like a magnet. It'll go back to where it broke off at. So I didn't need a cast. I just got to keep it in some kind of position like this. I got to think I should have it on, but I don't. Because I don't want y'all to think that, you know, I'm broke up. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But this is what men do, man. This is what we do, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm learning, man, as I stay here in Narcotics Anonymous, man, the longer I stay here, man, I'm starting to realize, man, that this thing go way further than me trying to act like that I got everything okay. I learned how to cry. You know what I mean? I don't care no more. I be behind the podium crying like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it be happy tears. It's not always sad-ass tears. You know what I mean? I can come in here and talk about how bad my life is and all this shit, but what about how good your life is? Mm-hmm. How about how good your life is even when it's bad? Right. See, in Narcotics Anonymous, I learned that shit could be going bad and it's still good. Mm-hmm. Still good. You know, and I got a whole lot of friends, man, that, you know, they wanted to do shit their way. You know what I mean? They came in Narcotics Anonymous. They said this is some dumb shit, right? They did. They thought this shit was dummy, make them dummy down, right? But it's either you dummy down in this motherfucker, or you back out there using. And then let's see who dummy dumb then. You hear what I'm saying? I got a whole lot of friends, man, that say, you know what, man? I don't think I need Narcotics Anonymous. Guess where they at? They either dead, right? Or they out, or they stuck. You know, we call it stuck like Chuck. And if you don't know what stuck is, just, no, I ain't gonna say that. I ain't gonna say that. I was gonna say take a hit of crack. If you take a hit of crack, well, you be stuck like a motherfucker. You be stuck. Shit, you be stuck for days, weeks, you know, years go by. Motherfucking presidents done change. You know what I'm saying? And you think I'm gonna run back? Now, look, man, I got a whole lot of excuses to use. A whole lot, man. And guess what my disease told me, man? They'll understand. They'll understand if you use. Nah. Yeah, y'all will. Y'all will. Y'all, I know y'all will. But it's going to be a sad story. Mm-hmm. It's going to be one of them sad-ass stories that I'm going to justify why I use. You ever try to justify why you did some shit?
Yeah.
And you know you can't justify some shit. You know what I mean? It don't even sound right no more. You know what I mean? And, I got a sponsor. I just got a new sponsor. And my old sponsor, we fell out. You know what I mean? Shit happens. I love him. You know what I'm saying? He fell out. I mean, well, we both kind of fell out. And I was without a sponsor. You know how they say, you know, you a fool if you had no sponsor? Well, I didn't have no sponsor for a little while, but I wasn't no fool. Because I used y'all. I used everybody in this room until I did it the right way this time. I went to meetings and I said, I'm going to see who I know that can help my ass for real. And I ain't saying the other one didn't help me, because he did. I had him for 19 years. And I picked Vaughn. Some of y'all might know Vaughn. Big Vaughn. Yeah, Vaughn. Dr. Vaughn. Dr. Vaughn. Yeah. Dr. Vaughn is my sponsor. Yeah. Might be somebody else's sponsor in this room too. But, I picked him as a sponsor. And, we doing some work, man. We doing some work. You know what I mean? Some stuff that I left out. Cause you think people they got a lot of clean time, you think they really doing some work around. It doesn't necessarily mean that somebody that got clean time is recovering, right? And that's not to put them down, but you know our literature talks about we have different rates and degree of recovery and sickness. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And sometimes we need a push. You know what I mean? Like, and so I'm so grateful that I don't depend on me no more as much as I used to. It was all, look, you know who made the decisions for me? The last person I got high with. You know who that is? Me. That's a bad person to run some shit across. our literature talks about our literature talks about making a major decision for a year, and everybody be saying a relationship, but it don't say a relationship, because a major decision could be anything for any one of us. I came in here married, separated, and I got a divorce, and so a major decision can be anything. It could be you spending all your damn money up all the damn time and wonder why you can't fly out the country when all your friends is flying out the country and they got less money than you do. Right? And my sponsor told me, he said, it's not how much money you make. And this shit right here got me right here. It ain't how much money you make. It's what you do with what you make. Nobody ever told me that shit. You know what I mean? The misinformed people told me shit like this. I don't know why you putting it in the savings. You can't take it with you. So you might as well spend it all. It's okay to leave money to somebody if you die. It's okay. You ain't gotta spend it all, but if you want to, you can. You know what I mean? But I don't spend all my money no more. I think I spun enough. After 26 years clean, I got so much shit, I don't know what to do with it. I look around my room and I go, God damn it. Shoes everywhere, I'm tripping over shit. I need a new place. I need a new place, man. And so I'm looking around for another place, and life is real good, man. Life is real good today, man. You know what I mean? It really is, man. And I'm learning how to grow up. I'm learning how to grow up in here, man, and be a man. You know, it's hard to be a man, when you you got a lot of shit going on. You know, relationships. You know what I mean? Me and my kids fell out. Oh, you think you couldn't fall out with your kids? when they do some dumb shit. You know, I have my son living with me, my oldest son. He want to get high. Now he know I'm clean. I'm trying to help you get your life together, and you gonna get high in my crib. I said, don't let me catch you again, bro. Cause I started talking to him like he was talking to me. Cause this new generation out here now, you know what I mean? They don't have no respect. Not even for their parents, right? I said, I know what I gotta do. I gotta come down to his level. I said, don't let me catch you again, bro. He was like, what am I doing? I said, all right. I said, all right. And I set him up like a mouse. He was using my medication. He's an opiate user, right? He liked to crush pills and snort them. So what I did, I took some pills out of my bottle because I got tired of hiding my shit. I was hiding my shit from me. I would come home and be like, damn, where did I hide it at? I said, fuck that, I'm not doing that no more. So I set him up. I took some pills out of my bottle. I took my camera, I took my phone, click, click. It was 8 pills in there when I left. I came back, there's 4. Mm-hmm. So I said, yo, you been in my pill bottle? Guess what he said? Y'all know what he said. Nah, man, why would I go in your pill bottle? And I said, damn, that sounds like me. So, you know, I took my phone. I said, look, this is what I took before I left my house. You the only one here. Is there a ghost in this motherfucker? I said, get the packing, bro. Get the pack. He said, where am I going to go? I said, let me give you some ideals. You can go to a rehab. Mm. You can go to a shelter. Mm. You can go to a 3-quarter house. Or you can call your mother. Mm. But you got to get out of here, bro. Mm. I came in my crib one day. He had my refrigerator door open. I said, boo! I said, what's going on, man? And my son big, you know, he was a wrestler in college. He wrestled for Clary University. 6'2", big boy. And he knew I had a gun too. I'm not fighting. And, you know, I mean, I got a big old knife on them gutters. And I don't want to use it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, he was like, where am I going to go? I said, either a rehab, shelter, 3-quarter house, or call your mother. Mm. He put a little book bag on his shoulder, put a couple things in it, and he left. And he told his mother, I put him out. He called his mother. So it's been a whole year now. He don't talk to me. His twin sister don't talk to me neither. Like they think I'm going to break down. Like, you think I won't let you steal my peace? My peace after working so hard to get something, you think I'm just going to hand this shit over to you because you want to do what you want to do? Nah, bro. Nah, I can't do that. I love you, but I love you way over there somewhere. So I'm grateful to be here, man. And, you know, I ain't got really much more to say, man, that I just believe that, man. You know, just like I believe, like this one guy, I heard this one guy share, and he said, look, man, there's 3 things we should try to do every day. And some of y'all might have heard this. He said we should laugh. We should get a good laugh, right? We should cry, whether it's crying over something happy, something sad. Right, and we should help somebody. So we should get a good laugh. We should cry. Even if you ever watch TV and a commercial, you be crying over a goddamn commercial. That's a good ass cry, man. I be watching what's that show? America Got Talent and shit. Some little young girl come on there and be singing her heart out. I'd be like, That's a good cry, right? And you should help somebody every day. Whether it's you at a red light or a stop sign, and you know how you be like, you go, no, you go, no, you go. You be like, go ahead and go. That's a good thing. That's helping somebody. You know what I mean? And then the other thing that I would say as far as growing up and be men is that it's okay, man, to dummy down. That don't make you a punk. See, I came here with this thing that if I let you get over on me, that somehow I was a punk, right? But the only punk is when you try to act like you got all this shit together. And ain't none of us got all this shit together. Ain't none of us gonna ever have all this shit together. And the best thing about that is that is knowing that shit. Is knowing that. So I believe that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs. They can lose the desire to use, and they can find a new way to live. My name is Dale, and I'm an addict.
Yes, sir. All right. Fine, Joe.
I'd like to thank the speaker for sharing his experience.